Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI.
What's in today's Friday 4-Pack?
Friday 4-Pack here on Jones and Keefe. We're brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies at Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. We'll get to Elliot Wolf calling into question Drake May and his leadership. Honestly, just when the guy was starting to get like a little bit of credit for fake making all these nice picks in the Patriots draft.
Yeah.
A good way to get yourself fired.
Elliot, do less.
Yeah, seriously. Go on SiriusXM and question the leadership abilities of your quarterback. So we'll do that coming up again about 15 minutes from now. We got a 4-pack of questions for you on a Friday. What's first up today, Billy?
First up, who will throw more touchdowns next season, Drake May or Caleb Williams?
I'm pretty confident it's going to be Caleb Williams. Few reasons.
I don't like it. I don't like this answer, but go ahead.
All right, so Caleb Williams last year played every game, and he threw 20 touchdowns. Nothing to get excited about, right? Mm-hmm. That's barely won a game. He has Ben Johnson now as his coach, who under Ben Johnson, Jared Goff last year, I think, threw 37 touchdowns. They have a good receiving core. They added a tight end in the first round. I think they're going to be throwing it a lot more. Meanwhile, Mike Vrabel's already talked about not wanting to chuck it a lot. I think they're going to run the ball a little bit more. So Drake May could still have a very good season, but if you're just going head-to-head who throws more touchdowns, I'll take Caleb Williams.
So I'm just going to side with who I think is the better quarterback. Williams is more talented. Williams does have more around him and probably has the better offensive coach. We'll see if he has the better coach or not. Definitely has the better offensive coach. But his might not be very good.
That's not always the key, though.
No, it's
Sam
not.
Sam Darnold was top five in touchdown passes.
That's
last
fair.
Year.
That's totally fair. But Ben Johnson, let's see if he knows what he's doing as a head coach. Like, I had high hopes for the Bears last year, and they won four or five games. They stunk. And they had a lot of weapons last year. There was a lot of firepower around him, and they stunk. So Caleb Williams just might not be very good. Very talented. Might not be good.
Yeah.
Look, you know what? Drake May might not be good for all we know. I think Drake May, I'm a believer. And I'm going to side with the quarterback that I just think is a better player. I'm going to go with May to throw more touchdowns than Caleb Williams.
You know who had more touchdown passes than Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes last year?
Oh, I mean, Mahomes was low. Are you going to say Caleb Williams?
Bo Nix.
Nice.
Bo Nix, baby.
Nice.
Wasn't just Bo Pix. It was Bo Pix early. Then he got that out of his system.
But again, so the quarterback change, the coaching change is significant for Caleb Williams. Otherwise, it's like it's a lot of the same stuff.
It is, but it's a coaching change for both. I think both will improve. Like Drake May also didn't play as many games last year, so I'm answering this question assuming they both play all season. But I'll say Caleb Williams at the end of the year is more.
Okay. What else do we have, Billy?
What's been the best story of the NBA playoffs so far?
Ooh, let me go on this one.
Go ahead.
I think J.J. Redick getting pantsed the first round against Minnesota. Out there playing his guy, the graphic in game four,
yeah,
they showed it so many times I got so annoyed by it, but I'm happy they did in retrospect because it makes Redick look like such a clown.
Apparently he was acting like a kid before the game. Did you hear that story from Windhorst?
Yeah.
Oh.
He was saying, he was like, Reggie Miller had to calm him down before the game because he was acting like a child.
Reggie Miller had to talk him down because Redick had already stormed off prior to the game.
Yeah.
Because he was yelling at a reporter for questioning about playing his whole team in the second half. So Redick ran his team into the ground. LeBron, the show's GOAT. No one on this show would ever question
That's
LeBron.
That's not true.
But he's old. You can't play him for an entire half.
Plays these guys the whole game.
If you do play them for entire halves and they don't sit down and LeBron does nothing in the fourth quarter again of game four, I'm going back a little bit.
Right.
Then we should look at you as the head coach. And he doesn't want to take any blame for it. So I think the best story so far of the NBA playoffs is J.J. Redick getting pantsed, exposed, embarrassed, however you want to put it. I think that's the best story.
Now, I'm going to piggyback off of that. The best story is LeBron James proving that it was a failure for him to go to L.A. He handpicked J.J. Redick. He handpicked that guy.
Yeah, well, that's true.
All he does is handpick coaches. Yep. He's had a million coaches. I can't even keep track of all the coaches
he'll have a million and one soon.
He will have another one. They should probably get rid of J.J. Redick. Yeah. But getting bounced in the first round, there's been so many years where they either lose in the first round or don't make the playoffs at all. They're actually the higher seed this year, and they just got bullied by Anthony Edwards. Lakers losing in the first round after the Luka trade and after people like, oh, no, they figured it out. And all since that, they're really good defensively. And all LeBron's got this second life about him.
LeBron,
they're about to go on a run.
LeBron would be third on my list with the Lakers. Redick is one. And then I'd look at Luka. You see Redick also called out Luka?
Yeah.
He called it. He said,
I got to get in shape.
We need guys in championship shape.
It's like, I don't know how many guys are playing 48 minutes a night there, JJ. You might want to give this guy a rest here and there.
No, but like, I'm not letting LeBron.
They're all pointing fingers at each other. LeBron was like, Anthony Davis wanted a center. You hear him say that?
Yeah.
Then he got traded. It's like, wait, do you want Luka or do you not want Luka? I can't make heads or tails.
I didn't love that trade for the Lakers when they
dribble,
made it.
Dribble, fat.
That guy actually who he was talking about was killing it last night.
I didn't love the trade for the Lakers. I mean, clearly it went way worse for Dallas than I expected it to. But I don't think Luka comes out of it looking good. JJ comes out of it looking terrible. I agree. LeBron doesn't come out of it looking good either. I'd have him personally lower on the list, but that's the best story of the NBA playoffs. LeBron
getting knocked out in the first round is definitely the best story in the NBA. Yes.
Okay. What else, Billy?
Who is the Red Sox best player?
This is tough.
Yeah.
I think I know how you're going to answer. You probably know how I'm going to answer. I would go Bregman.
Oh, no, I wouldn't.
I would not go with a starting pitcher because they're not in the lineup every day. They're not impacting it every day. I wouldn't go Devers. I considered Duran, who I love at the top of the order, getting things going. And I think after a bit of a slow start, maybe where some hits weren't dropping in, I think his numbers have started to pick up. I'd go with Bregman. He has, I think, helped change the lineup, not the team success yet. But he's helped change the lineup right in the middle of the order. He's hitting like crazy. He's been worth every penny. I would vote Bregman.
I am going to go Garrett Crochet. And I normally go kind of away from starting pitchers. I get your point about guys that are in the lineup every single day. But at some point, if you're ranking major league players, you got to have pitchers on the list somewhere. And so I think if you're taking the Red Sox guys and you're putting them in some order, I think he is their best guy. He's got, what, a 2 ERA on the season. He himself is 3-2, but I believe the team is 5-2 in the 7 games that he has started. He's a true ace. There's probably not many pitchers I'd put on the list even, but he's one of them. You know, he's gone five innings has been the shortest start each time. So, you know, once he goes out there, it's usually a day the bullpen can kind of rest a little bit. I think Bregman and Duran are good, kind of like they're right there. Like those guys should be. I don't know if Duran will be an all-star. He's got to pick it up a little bit. But like those are like all-star caliber players. But Crochet is like a Cy Young candidate. So I would say he's their best player.
This is helpful from the Twitch chat. Turbo Dangerfield says Bregman for position player, Crochet for pitcher. Well, thank you.
You got to pick one,
now
Turbo.
Pick one. Billy, why don't you break the tie? Who's the best player on the Red Sox? I say Bregman. He says Crochet. Either a write-in or who do you think out of those players?
Ooh, that is tough. I'm going to go with Bregman just because Bregman is 4 at-bats a game. Crochet, I got to wait every fifth, sixth day for.
Yeah, it hurt. I mean, that hurts him.
Yeah.
But, like, there was a time when, like, Pedro was the best player on the team.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, obviously. But, again, like, it comes, like, I know every day I'm going to get a Bregman, a few Bregman at-bats.
Definitely.
Bregman right now is one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, that's with all the errors that have hopefully at least for the time being.
I think he's like tied for the most hits or extra base hits. He's up there too.
He's
do we ever settle on a nickname for him? Not to open up that
Foghorn Breghorn. I think he's fourth. Yeah, right. He's fourth in WAR. People like WAR. Only Judge, Tatis, and Pete Alonso have a higher WAR now.
I got two of those players on my ding dong team. There.
Yeah, I have the other one.
How about that?
Yeah, Fernando Tatis having a nice little year.
Sick brag, bro.
No big deal.
Somehow neither of us are in first.
No big deal.
I don't know. Keith got a bunch of home runs last night. So.
Oh, Vladdy?
Who else you got?
Bobby Witt hit a three-run home run.
Thank you, Bobby.
So two. I can't remember who else he had.
A bunch of home runs.
I saw, I was like, Keith's racking up home runs tonight.
Look out. There's only one way to go for our squad.
That's okay, so Keith had a bunch of home runs. He had two.
I don't want to jinx it.
I don't remember who his fourth player is, so.
I don't want to jinx it, but Fernando.
Yeah, I racked up girlfriends.
Fernando Tatis could be on 40-40 watch by the
midway point. Yeah, I was upset. I was speaking of sniped picks. You sniped Tatis from me, so yeah. I was. That's a good pick by you.
That's a good GM pick.
Sick brag, bro.
What's our last entry here?
Final
bro?
Question. What's worse, applauding at the end of a movie or when your plane lands?
So both are completely unnecessary.
Yes.
And I've been on a plane brag and in a movie theater brag when people have clapped at the end, and I'm always a little confused.
You must have been to way more movies where people clap than planes, though.
Well, I don't know, because I feel like people, at least one idiot claps every time the plane lands. I feel like I go to plenty of movies where people don't clap. They just get up and leave. But there are times where they do.
Have you ever done it at either?
No.
I've never clapped at either. I've been on a flight where the plane clapped, and I was like, good job by this pilot, because this was rocky. I did not clap,
turbulence?
But it was.
Oh, you were like, I get it.
It was a sketch. I got that one. There was one I got.
Yeah, I'd be more likely to like kiss the floor than I would be to clap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At least that might make a little bit more sense, because maybe the pilot hears you, and he's like, yeah, good for me.
Good for me.
Well, the actors aren't at the showing. Unless you're like in an LA and they're like screening talk or something like that.
Or Jack Black comes to tell you not to throw chickens.
Yeah, right. If Jack Black's there and you want to give him a round of applause, I guess that makes, you're like, now you're at like a play and the people can hear you. But that happens. Like people are clapping at the end of a movie. You're
so,
like, I don't know.
I think if you would have asked me 6 months ago, I would have said it's more embarrassing on a flight.
Well,
with all the aviation mishaps, I think now I get that one a little bit more. I go movie. I would go movie. It's unnecessary. No one can hear it, as you just said.
Right.
So
right.
More unnecessary.
Is the biggest ovation you saw at a movie or you were there for?
Oh, probably either Infinity War or Endgame. No. Actually, not Infinity War. Infinity War, people ended and they were all just like, what
do you
happened?
Count,
Endgame. Probably Endgame.
Do you count when you're taking like your kid to it? My kids clap at like all the kids' movies I take them to. They all clap.
So Jones, what was the biggest applause you saw at a children's movie?
Well, so I think in all seriousness, I think the biggest applause I remember
Moana
from
two.
My childhood. No, that got a big pop. That Moana too.
Yeah, yeah.
No, as a child, I'm pretty sure this. I don't know why. I'm pretty sure the theater clapped for The Mask when I saw The Mask. I'm pretty sure that got an ovation.
Well, Cameron Diaz, you know.
Yeah, Cameron maybe it was like that. It made an impact on a young girl. Like
Requiem for a Dream. Place went nuts.
No, but yeah, Moana 2 probably. These
Moana
days.
2
big pop.
That yeah, could have been
Paw Patrol movie. Kids love them.
People they get excited about.
Yeah,
it,
I think it's unnecessary. And I don't clap. My son's clapping. The kids they're with are clapping. I'm looking at all of them like, what
guys,
are we
don't need to do this.
Yeah,
so I'm going to leave you here.
Yeah, sort of enjoy it, acknowledge it, talk amongst yourself, like your friends, and be like, yeah, it was a good movie.
Yeah, Lucas, do we clap on the couch when a movie's done or like?
Right.
You know,
it's the same thing.
It's the same exact idea.
So I don't think I've ever been a part of like an applause. Yeah. But have you guys seen Uncut Gems?
Of course.
So I was at that movie. You saw that in the theater, and that was like the most an audience ever like gasped.
Oh yeah, you're like
most they what?
Gasped. Like a theater of just like,
well, because you were holding your breath the whole movie because it was just so.
It was a huge anxiety attack if you're a gambler. Like, I didn't feel it because I'm not a degenerate, but like, I can get why people were losing their minds.
It was pretty intense. Are you watching The Rehearsal, by the way? You know, the Nathan Fielder show?
No, you were telling.
It's about aviation this season.
Oh, wait.
So, season two of The Rehearsal?
No, I watched the first season of that. Was that?
Which is wild. I can't even describe that show. It's unlike any other show ever.
Was that when they like. It was.
He like recreate stuff and like.
Yeah, and one of the episodes was recreating
a guy on his trivia team. He wanted to like come clean that he like never actually graduated from law school.
What was his show where like the lady wanted to see what it was like to like raise a kid? What was
that? Yeah, that's also the rehearsal. He did a few different things in season one.
Yeah, yeah, I did see. I didn't realize there was a second season of that.
So it just came out like two episodes in, and the timing of it is bizarre because they must have filmed it a while ago, but it's about like plane crashes. It's, I don't know what's going on. I watched that show. I'm just like so confused on how they even do it. It's why there's nobody. It's the most unique show going.
Nathan For You, hard to beat. That's a good show.
I didn't see all of that. I've seen like clips and stuff.
Nathan For You was good.
Yeah,
Nathan. I
the rehearsal could be a hard watch.
I don't know that I love the. I didn't love the first season of The Rehearsal.
Yeah,
there were
parts
that I liked.
I
didn't realize there was a second season.
Well, they brought the kid in. That was really strange.
It was
like, is this kid in on it?
Yeah,
or is he not?
So what did she do? It was like the kid advanced at like a really rapid age to see what it was like to be a mom.
But then like the kid thought that he was like his dad and like was having these weird conversations. Then you didn't know what part of the show was real and what was fake anymore. Right. And I'm like, I don't like this. I don't feel right.
I don't feel right.
The show's nuts though.
Okay. So where do we land on that? Clapping in a movie theater, I think, is where we land
yes.
on that.
Yeah. Yes, yes,
okay,
yes,
perfect.
Yes.
It's the Friday 4-Pack here on Jones and Keefe. We do it every Friday at 11:30. Let's get to Elliot Wolf questioning the leadership of Drake May. We'll do that next.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
You can certainly take that as a compliment for Drake May. Didn't really know his place as a rookie. He's going to come in. I'm sure he's going to be much more of a leader this season. And if you want to look at it that way, go right ahead. That was Elliot Wolf yesterday on Sirius XM. That was kind of a veering answer, like a pivot in the middle of being asked something else. He's like, by the way, one area I know he's going to be better, I'll add parenthetically because he was so bad with it last year.
Okay, well,
He's going to be a much better leader this year, and I know he's going to do that. So you can look at it as Wolf is trying to talk him up and be like, he's going to be a bigger part of our leadership because we got all the crummy leaders out of here, and Vrabel's already changing the locker room. We're going to empower Drake May. I mean, on some level, he's saying Drake May was not a leader last year. That doesn't make him a bad leader, but he's letting you know that's an area they need more out of him. And for Wolf to say, I know he's going to be better at it, you can guess. You have no idea.
No, we don't really know.
You have no clue.
Does every single quarterback have to be a leader?
I think they are by default.
I think they kind of have to be, actually. Yeah. Like, so there are arguments to be made, like, you know, in baseball, like, does your best player have to be a leader? Probably not. You know, like, there's just the nature of that sport, and as long as you have some leaders in there, I think you can get by. Basketball, honestly, I don't think either. Like, I think all the guys in the Celtics kind of lead their own way, but I think, like, Drew Holiday and Al Horford provide a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, not that Tatum and Brown don't, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not the clear-cut, like, oh, you're the captain of the team. Football is a different beast. Like, I feel like if the quarterback isn't, I don't know how many examples there are of teams still being really good where that guy doesn't take that on.
Text line is already responding. He's right. Certainly up to the task. Yeah, he's being questioned real hard. He was saying, if anything, rookies aren't providing leadership. I can see reading it that way. I just acknowledge that. I would point out again, he was asked about Drake May very generically going into year two, and he's like, oh, by the way, he's going to be a better leader.
Well, and so, they also have to because they got rid of all of their leaders from last year.
Just seemed like an interesting thing to bring up. No one was asking him about leadership. No, and he's like, by the way, Drake will be a better leader. Interesting.
Yeah, unprovoked.
And I don't know. I still don't have a – I don't know how anybody feels like they have a good read on Drake May as a leader. I don't know how you do.
No, we don't.
And so if you want to say the jury's out, fine. I don't say how you could know. I would highlight the Joe Milton stuff as something I am questioning with Drake May as a leader on this team. And I would also point to him blowing off the media after the final game of the year, meaning like on breakup day on the Monday when Mayo was fired. Yeah, there. He's not there answering questions. Mm-hmm. I didn't complain about it in real time. I didn't care when he didn't talk after the Buffalo game, meaning at the podium 4:00 or whatever it was that day. But those are a couple of small little things where it's like, boy, he didn't even talk to the media until yesterday.
No.
It had been months since we here in New England had a Q&A with him. And on top of that, Joe Milton's gone. So I do have little questions about his leadership. And for Elliot Wolf to bring that up unprompted to veer in the middle of a question about Drake May and his growth in year two, I found that interesting. But if you don't think he's questioning it, that's fine. 617-779-7937. Let me add this,
all right,
Keith.
Please.
Greg Bedard on his podcast yesterday.
Yeah.
He's heard a little something about Joe Milton.
Really?
And, well, it's convenient now that Joe Milton's out of town.
Milton was here for a whole year, right?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, he was here the entire year. And I don't remember hearing any of this while he was a New England Patriot. Here's Greg Bedard on his podcast.
Joe Milton was, and this is like direct quotes from somebody in the organization, not a good dude. Knowing your role, playing your role, you know, being part of a harmonious quarterback room, that was going to be an issue. And it wasn't about Drake May. It was just about the room.
Wait a minute.
Not a good dude.
Not a good dude?
Bad dude.
So we heard none of that the whole year he was here.
Nope.
And then he's gone for a few weeks, and he's not a good dude?
Mm-hmm.
But then your examples are he didn't know his role?
Bad dude. Bad for the dynamics.
Once again, we're back to the same conversation we were before. He's a bad guy because he wanted to play. He's a bad guy because he thought maybe he could be a starter.
Uh-huh.
Again, I'm not comparing the two as far as like their playing style or their ability, but Tom Brady thought he could be a starter too as a 6th-round pick.
Yep.
And in fact, became a starter and became the greatest player of all time. I don't know why you wouldn't want anybody that was on the team and was like, yeah, I'm the backup. Like, I'm for sure the backup. Like, you know, you don't want to be popping off about it all the time if you're, say, Brian Hoyer or Jacoby Brissett or whoever the backup quarterback. You don't want to be popping off about it, but to not have confidence in yourself and then you're labeled a bad dude because you have confidence in yourself.
And how about going into your second year in the NFL when you won the same amount of games as the starter?
Right, right, right.
You won one.
Right.
Drake May won one. You were both on really crappy teams. Drake May turned it over all the time.
Technically, Drake May got the win.
I'm sorry.
He did technically.
One real victory.
Right.
And you led the team to as many wins as he did. Like
that's like the year.
I don't think that's crazy at all. If it was like 10 years into Drake May's career, this kid comes in as a 6th-round pick. He's like, I'm going to be the starter. That is, by the way, what Brady did.
Yeah,
but when I would get that a little more. Now he's a bad dude. So where do you think this is coming from, Keith?
The Patriots.
Yeah, who?
Obviously. Oh, I mean McDaniels, Wolf, Vrabel.
Knowing Bedard, McDaniels is on the list.
Yeah.
But
you think Drake May? I don't think Drake May. I don't know if he's even like, talking to people like this.
Maybe not Drake May. What about Drake May's family?
Oh, I mean, it's possible because there was reports that they didn't like the draft pick.
How about the May camp?
Could be maybe the May camp.
Because now he's a bad guy. Not just like he was a distraction and not good for the room. Like, now he's a bad guy.
But it's also, it's a way to explain away why they did what they did. Meaning, like, why McDaniels
justified it, or
Vrabel, or even Elliott Wolf, I guess, be like, see, we kind of had to do it. He's a bad guy. See, we're better off for it. Like, they go back to Washington. In the same draft, they had Robert Griffin III and Kirk Cousins. You think Kirk Cousins was like, I'm just the backup. That's my job. I'll only be the backup, and I'll never even try to be the starter. Like, no.
He's kind of doing that in Atlanta right now, but he's got his money.
Now. He's got his cash.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, no, I just, that is a really strange thing. So, yeah, I mean, Drake May, hopefully, whether Joe Milton was on the roster or not, was going to start week one and start and play every single game all the way through the end of the season, not get hurt, have a ton of success. But, yeah, that's just in the early going, just the stuff we have to base it off of. I don't know, something to look at.
Let me just say, it's very no – for everybody who's like, you have no proof that Drake May is a bad leader, I guess we don't.
What's the proof that he's a bad guy?
Thank you. That's what I was just going to say. You have no proof Drake May is a good leader. Or a bad leader, rather. Okay, fine. You're right. I don't have a lot of proof. I question this Joe Milton thing over here. I question him not talking for months at a time, which I find odd. So at least I have some things to question. What do you have? What do you have for evidence that Joe Milton's a bad dude?
Apparently he thought he could play.
I guess you can point to the trade. But I would say that I didn't hear any of that while he was here, which seems awfully convenient. But I'm also not plugged in, Keith. What do I know?
Mm-hmm.
Greg Bedard, very plugged in over there in New England. Who's he talking to? Where is he getting that from? Why didn't he get it last year? I don't know. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keith. We did our Friday 4-pack earlier this hour. You can check that out on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. We also did a Top 5 Friday. The people we're most worried about. That's up now on socials. You can check it out at Jones and Keith on Twitter and on Instagram. Keith, text line had a late submission.
Great one.
A glaring omission by you and I.
Yeah.
Mel Kiper.
Mel Kiper. We should be worried about Mel Kiper.
Mel Kiper.
That was a tough draft for
Mel
him.
Kiper.
That was a tough couple of days.
Very relevant, very topical.
Yeah,
just this week. Shows how stupid my brain is. I already forgot all about it.
Great
Mel
one.
Kiper is a great one to have on the list.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to add him as an honorable mention. But check that out, at Jones and Keith. Again, Twitter and Instagram. Let's get back to the Celtics, the whole league. According to a top NBA insider, thinks the Celtics are about to make changes this offseason. We'll get to it next.